Well, this Sunday we celebrate what is known in the church calendar, Pentecost Sunday. And you may wonder what that is. Well, really, it's the day that the Lord poured out His Spirit upon a fledgling group of people. I want you to understand they weren't the church yet. They were just the people who were gathering together. You see, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus spoke to His disciples and He said, "Who do people say I am?" And Peter responded, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus' response was, "On the basis of what you've said, that truth that I am the great I am, I'm going to build a church. But I'm not going to let them try to do it in their own strength. I'm going to give them the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pour out my Spirit on them." On that day, it's interesting that Peter was the one who declared that you are the Christ. And it's the same man who deserted Jesus, the same man who denied Jesus, the same man we often just pinpoint our accusations and our criticism to Judas, but not one of the 11 other disciples were there when Jesus needed them. They all left. And Peter, in a real sense of the word, betrayed Jesus. Although he declared you the Christ, he wasn't strong enough and he denied Jesus. It's the same Peter in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit descended upon them, that he was the one who got up and spoke. I love that about God. I love what Bobby said earlier. Once again. You see, when you think you're written off and you think you've got no hope, where you think you've written the script of your life that says the full stop, the word before the full stop is failure and full stop. God says, that's not my way of working. My way of working is to take a life that maybe is weak and fallen, to transform them and to be with them and take them. So Peter gets up in Acts chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit came upon them. And he stepped forward with the 11. Interesting, the Bible highlights, once they all stood far away, now empowered by the Holy Spirit, Peter takes the first step and all 11 step with him. And they proclaim that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that message has gone across the face of the earth into little house churches in India. Over 1,200 people under the ministry where Johanna's been going to plant little churches in villages. Part of this church going there. In Lesotho. In Zambia. In Bible translations. In the prisons. Anyone who believes and calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And on that day, there were 3,000 who believed and were baptized. And that was the start of the first church. It didn't have a name. It didn't have a building. But God had brought about His ecclesia, His people together. And He says, now I'm going to empower you to do my work. Today we start the series called The Promise, and I'm going to teach on the Holy Spirit. Next week, of course, we will interrupt it with Father's Day. We can't neglect our fathers, and I do have a word that I want to share on that day as well. But we'll come back to the series, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus was trying to teach His followers that He was going to leave them, but He would never leave them alone. He was going to depart from them. And in John chapter 10, verses 11, He says to them, "I'm the great shepherd, and this shepherd will lay down His life for His sheep." But they didn't get it. What He's really saying is, "I'm going to die, and that means I'm going to leave you." In John chapter 12, a woman called Mary pours out perfume at His feet and washes it with her tears and wipes it with her hair. And Judas objects. He says this money could have been used for something better. And it's Jesus' words that rattle them, but they still don't get it. "Leave her alone. She's preparing me for my burial." Burial? You're alive. You've given us hope. You're going to leave us? John 13 is the story of the Last Supper. Luke's gospel records how he takes bread, and a few minutes later in the service, we will break bread. He took a piece of bread, broke it. He says, this is my body, which is going to be broken for you. And he took a cup. He says, this blood is the covenant of my blood shed for the sins of many. And so after that supper, he gets up and he moves out and he begins to talk to his disciples. He begins to talk from chapter 14, 15, and 16. Then in chapter 17, he does what we call the priestly prayer of Jesus when he prays for us. You would think we needed to pray for him, but he's praying for us. And in John chapter 14, verse 18, he says these words, I will not leave you alone like orphans. I'm never going to abandon you. But how can you ever expect me, well, they thinking, how can he expect to stay here and go away and still be with us? How is it possible that he could be here, there, and everywhere? How is it possible? He's going to die and disappear, but he's still going to be with us? You see, in Luke chapter 24, after he had been resurrected, he met with some followers. And he says in Luke 24, 49, and now I will send the Holy Spirit. He's telling them how he's going to be with them always. Just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. So today I want to introduce you to the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about who he is and what he comes to do. I'm going to highlight it around three thoughts. That he came as a person to be your helper, but actually your God. Now, whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit to some, there's a level of confusion. People somehow don't grasp the Holy Spirit's understanding of who he is. And they say, well, I'm confused. I don't know much about the Holy Spirit. I like this Jesus. I like God the Father. But this kind of Holy Spirit thing, I don't get it. It's like kind of spooky stuff. Not sure about that. Some people actually are afraid because they don't know what it's all about. They shut down when you're teaching. They tend to avoid the subject of the Holy Spirit. I can follow Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, but this Holy Spirit is a mystery to me. And so people avoid that. And over the years I've seen, because of a poor biblical understanding, and because perhaps of some bad experiences that you may have had and witnessed, you can click on TV and you can see a show going on of what people call the Holy Spirit's work. I'm not criticizing, I'm not judging, but you look at it and you say, oh, no, not for me. Yeah. I'll avoid this. And so the Holy Spirit gets a bad rap. Yeah. He gets blamed for things he never did. Someone walks up to you, the Holy Spirit told me this about you. Oh my word, no he didn't. He would have spoken to me as well. And so he gets the bad rap. So this morning, my idea and my goal is to introduce you to just the wonder of who he is. But I'm going to ask you to lay down your prejudice for a minute. To not disengage, but actually, on the contrary, to say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, show me. Lord, come and help me. His desire is to be active in your life. So I'm going to ask you to pray for the second time. But would you put your hand on your heart this time? And say, Lord, pray this prayer. Lord, open my heart. Open my eyes. Open my understanding to the person of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's a very foundational teaching this morning. Number one, the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force, and he's not weird. You see, the translators struggle to understand how to write the word adequately to describe the Holy Spirit. You see, names often carry the picture and image in your mind. You introduce someone and they give you their surname. You create a picture. Someone tells you about them, you create a picture. I grew up in a neighborhood that everybody had nicknames. Everyone. If a guy was tall, we called him. Did you grow up in my neighborhood too? And if he had a big set of ears? You see. Oh, man. I thought it was only me who lived under that condemnation. And then we'll twist you on this one, because if we called him Tiny, what did that mean? He's a big boy. Oh, I can go on with that. Have you ever heard them call a rugby player by the name of, how would you like this name? Flace Fasaki. You know why? He was a block of just absolute rock meat. So names carry pictures to us. So when the Bible is trying to translate, and I mention the word Holy Ghost, emphasis ghosts, Casper, I'm not being irreverent, creepy, spooky, ooh, eerie, weird. But you see, the Bible translators try to take that word and they struggled with it. You see, the word spirit means ruah in the Old Testament. And the meaning of that word means the breath of God. The not the wind, although it shows itself in that way. It is this thing that gives life to you. When somebody dies, they said they breathed their last breath. Now, you've got to understand how they had to translate. So they couldn't say, now let me say, may God the Father, God the Son, and God the breath be with you. And so they translated it into Holy Spirit. But let me take a step back again. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, he says, the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed the breath. That word should be spirit, which means ruah, the breath of God, into man's nostrils, and man became a living person. So you need to know that the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, is the life-giving source, not force. That gives you life, that keeps you going. The life giver, who is a person. Listen how Jesus in John 14 is talking about him. Look up at the screens. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he lives with you and he will be in you. Not it. Not that thing will be in you. He is a personal pronoun. Take note at the opening sentence, verse 16. I have it back on the screen again. Oh, it's still there. I will ask the Father, and he's referring to he will give you another helper. He's talking about he, the Holy Spirit, but he's talking about he, the Father, will send it. He continues the sentence. It's mentioned there five times, a he. Look at John chapter 15, verse 26. I will send you the helper from the Father. He is the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father. When he comes, he will tell you about me. It's not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the triune God. He's more than a force. But not only is he that wonderful person, he's not weird. Now, some people say when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they got weird. Now, look at me. They were weird before the Holy Spirit came upon them. So don't blame the Holy Spirit. And when things happen that you don't understand, it's manifestations that some people are having, doesn't mean that he, the Holy Spirit, it's the person showing something moving in them. But very often, he gets blamed for things he never does. The Holy Spirit is gentle. When the scripture talks about how Elijah was caught up in a mountain and the shaking of the rocks and the mountains, because he said, Lord, show me yourself. There was the whisper. The whisper. He's gentle. Because not only is he a person, he's your friend. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ. The extravagant love of God, which is from the Father, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You see, the Father was filled with love. He sent his Son, who was filled with grace, and the Holy Spirit was sent to be your friend. To develop a relationship with you. What Jesus was trying to tell them, I'm going away, but you will not be alone. I have someone who's going to act on your behalf. Yeah. To be your guide. John 16 verse 13. And also the one who comes along and empowers you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, verse 8. The Holy Spirit comes. He'll empower you to do things for him. Like when you fall and you're weak and you feel like you're frail and you can't get up. He'll lift you up. Because he's your helper. He comes to you as a friend to help you. The helper is called the Parakletos. In the Greek, when that word helper appears, and you can read it in John 14, verse 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. That word there means Parakletos, and I'll explain it. And he will be with you for how long? For how long? I want you to hear it. I want your voice to echo in your soul forever. John 14, verse 25 and 26. I have told you all these things while I am with you. But the Helper will teach you everything and will cause you to remember all I told you. The Helper is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. That word translated in the original language means parakletos. And literally translated is helper. Some years ago, I visited Istanbul with family. And we found ourselves going up a little narrow alley with beautiful old shops that sold the most beautiful linen. Not that I'm into sewing myself, but Barbie and the folk wanted to see. And we walked and we saw, I for myself was amazed. But for some reason, I asked myself, waiting outside while they were looking, I wonder how they get the stuff here. Because there were bundles and rolls of beautiful linen. And somehow God answered my prayer almost immediately. Coming up these stairs in this alley were three men that looked like they were carrying a haversack. But it was a harness like this, made of wood. I took a photo, but I lost it on when my phone crashed once. And they carried these things stooped down, and a piled up on their back is the linen, and they walk up this aisle, up this alley. That's their permanent job. They are parakletos. And Jesus says, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to come and do with you. He wants to come and help you when you feel like you can't make it anymore. When you feel that you just want to quit. He says, I come alongside and I help you. Can I have an amen on that? When you go into the prisons, Johan, and you feel not a, how am I going to do this? There's someone right alongside you carrying you through. When you go into the hospital to have surgery, someone is coming along carrying you. When you face the darkest secrets that your wife shares with you, your husband shares with you, that you feel your world has collapsed, there's someone right there carrying you. Can I have an amen on that? Because he's the helper. The beautiful thing about this helper is he loves you too much to leave you where you are. You see, a good friend can see you in your errors of your way. John chapter 16, Jesus said, and this helper will convict you, convince you. He'll tap you. You see, Romans chapter 8, verse 27, it says, he, the Holy Spirit, searches the heart. The Spirit of truth searches. So he can put his finger on areas of your life that needs some work. Must have been about a month ago, I attended a freedom course, which is the weekend, very meaningful. We dealt with some areas of our life, areas of, one of it was unforgiveness, areas of some bondages that we've clung to, things have latched themselves to us and they hold us, not demon possessed, but they like hinder us on our walk. Paul writes in Galatians, what's hindered you on your journey? And in one of the sessions, with just music, very similar to this, they were singing, mind you, and I said, I want you to sit still and ask God, what is there in your life that he wants to? And he was dealing with the subject of forgiveness. And I put my hands and opened like this before the Lord, sat in my chair. And I preach on forgiveness. It's one of the top subjects I'll preach. It's on my top three list of preaching to people, of sharing the freedom of forgiving. I had dealt with many issues in my life, and I've forgiven. But as we were sitting there, I kind of felt, you know, when the physiotherapist comes and he presses on something, God bless you, physiotherapist. We love you. But then they say, no. There's a knot and a nerve that's been pinched here. And then they get violent with you. Yes, they put their elbows in you and they work you and they drink and like say, oh, oh, but they go on and they do this all to release you from something.
Yeah.
That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he's the physiotherapist of your soul. Why? So you can live in freedom. So you can live as someone and don't carry the wound. Scars we carry, but healed of the wound. And so I came before him and laid it out. It was painful because I thought I was so on top of it. God says, I want to do the best for you. You see, my helper, who is a person, wants the best for me because he is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's not the sideline, the wingman. I imagine if the Holy Spirit and God in a picture, they're standing up here having a conversation. I'm just using my imagination, so bear with me. And the Holy Spirit will say to the Father, oh, you're wonderful. And he said, no, actually, you're wonderful. And the shining light would come upon the Holy Spirit and he would deflect it and say, shine it back to the Father. And the Father says, no, back to the Son.
Yeah, beautiful.
because he's God. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. The earth was empty and had no form. Darkness covered the ocean. And God's Spirit was moving over the water. Where there's darkness, he comes. Where there's hidden secrets, he comes. Because remember, he searches. He searches. He brings to light, not to condemn, but to bring you into freedom. He is my friend, but he's also God. In Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, the story is they were selling their land and selling their wares, and were bringing it to the apostles and putting it at their feet. And Ananias and Sapphira thought, we'd better get into this. This has looked like it's a good thing, this. But they held back some money. No one told them to do that. Now please listen to the text carefully. Peter said, Ananias, I'm back. Why did you let Satan rule your thoughts to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep for yourself part of the money you receive for the land? Before you sold the land, it belonged to you. And even after you sold it, you could have used the money any way you wanted. Why did you think of doing this? You lied to God. And so when you quench the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in the services, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in the Word, and you have quenched Him and you squeeze Him, you push Him back into the shadows. You resist Him. That means you quench Him. People often say, oh, the meeting was quenched. There was something that happened and we didn't do it in the meeting. No. People get quenched. Not things. And the Holy Spirit comes to you this morning, and we've chosen to design our service that we're coming to the table. Because the Son who carries the heart of His Father wants you to know that you've disappointed the Holy Spirit when you've pushed Him out of your life, when you have treated Him not as a friend and you don't want His help, and you've not treated Him like God. He says, I've come to convict you, not condemn you. And that's why Jesus, on the night it was He betrayed, took bread and He broke it and gave His disciples. I said, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. I'm going to ask, before we take of that, if we can dim the lights. And I'm going to ask the Lord, and you ask God, what area are you hiding from Him? What are you covering up? What are you holding on to? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10 says, for nothing is hidden from the Spirit. His Spirit searches the heart. Let God do the work this morning. Maybe it's not unforgiveness. Maybe it's a cover-up. Maybe it's a life that you're living, a double life. Someone goes home from church, it's not the same person that sits in church. And God says, I want you to come. Bring that to me. You see, the Holy Spirit's work is to point you, to show you about the cross, to remind you of forgiveness, to refresh you that the Father sent a Son and the Father's love was so overwhelming for you that He sent the Son, and the Son's role was to sacrifice His life. But the Holy Spirit is to remind you, to quicken you, to stir within you. So just open your hands where your eyes are closed. The meeting has been dimmed. And just bring before God what it is that you bring in the open to Him. It's not to Pedro Erasmus. It's to Him. Stop hiding it. Stop covering it. He sees it. And He's pointing you today to a cross, a table, which is the invite for you today. Holy Spirit, your life in us draws us to be more like You. Come now, minister to us in Jesus' name.